Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Major piece of legislation in the House of Representatives, and it should pass, and it should pass the Senate, too, bipartisan. Nancy Pelosi said that, she said today, unless somehow it gets bumped off, I think it'll be today, they're going to vote on a $39.8 billion package for Ukraine relief. Remember, Joe Biden had originally asked for $33 billion. This includes an extra $3.4 billion for more military assistance and $3.4 billion for more humanitarian aid. And, you know, all you have to do is turn on the television and see every building, practically every building, like in Mariupol, destroyed, people living underground. It's amazing to me their farmers can continue to operate, and they do. They're terrific. So this is going to be voted on today. Now, there had been a slight glitch early on the Biden proposal. There were people in the Democratic caucus who wanted to link COVID relief money that was unrelated to Ukraine to it. And then the Republicans wanted to link to COVID relief an immigration bill that the Democrats don't want. And so it was going to be like a Rube Goldberg machine. I mean, you know, 18 moving parts. Well, they've gotten rid of all that, which is very good news. The assistance for Ukraine is going to be separate. It'll be $39.8 billion. Expected to pass the House handily and the Senate. And, of course, Biden would sign it. Now, one of the things about it, that's all well and good, and you go, okay, $39.8 billion, and these terrific weapons are going to go over there. Well, these aren't just shotguns or pistols where with 5 minutes training you can fire them. These are howitzers, heavy armor that require training in terms of how to launch them, how to direct them. These are ones where the shells can change in mid-flight and they're directional. They can follow a target. Terrific stuff. The good news is that American troops have been training Ukrainian soldiers, I think, all along. And right now, I think they're doing it in NATO countries. It would not surprise me if you had a handful of Delta Force SEALs and others actually doing it in Ukraine. That is entirely speculative on my part. That is not part of the news, and maybe that isn't true. But we certainly have our people training them very close to Ukraine, if not on Ukraine territory. And the Ukrainians are smart, and they're going to catch on to this very quick. However, it's there's going to be a lag, a training lag. So the other thing is there's politics. So what happens if somebody like Rand Paul, who habitually will do things to benefit Russia, where to the point where John McCain, when he was alive and he was in the Senate, and Rand Paul single-handedly blocked the admission of Montenegro into NATO. And Montenegro had been subject to a coup, an assassination attempt by Putin of their prime minister. By the way, their prime minister was the guy that Trump shoved aside, remember, in that photo op? Remember that a couple of years ago? Trump's president, and he's in the back, and suddenly he's shoving, honest to God, shoves the prime minister of Montenegro, who they just tried to assassinate, Putin did, so he can get in the front and grin at everybody. It's very, very sick, very sad. In any event, John McCain turned to Rand Paul and said, are you working for Putin? You are voting for Putin. Now, Rand Paul has that reputation. He's not the only one. Trump has that reputation. Obviously, Tucker Carlson has it. And a lot of the others do, too. That is why I say that the Republican Party is a Russian party. It's not an American party. Are there some good Republicans? Of course there are. Liz Cheney's not part of a Russian party. Adam Kinzinger's not part of a Russian party. But by and large, Paul Manafort, for the love of Pete, the chairman, campaign manager for Trump, was on the payroll back then and had been prior to that with the Russians to change a Ukrainian election and put in a pro-Russian puppet. And then you may not remember this, but in the summer of 2016, when they were voting on the the platform for the Republican Party, and then they finally got rid of a platform. They don't have a platform now because it's too controversial. He had them change language that was more pro-Russian on Ukraine. Manafort did, with Trump's approval, right in the middle of the summer. And I mentioned it at the time, I was not on this radio station at the time. And everybody goes, oh, yawn, the platform, yawn. Manafort is a criminal, and he was put in jail on a felony, and Trump pardoned him. I'll tell you something about these pardons. I don't want to get too far afield here. I want to get back to the topic. But, you know, the pardon power is too absolute. The court should interpret it that if a guy like Trump pardons somebody who's in on a crime with him, that pardon is ineffective. Manafort's pardon is illegitimate because a criminal, Trump, is pardoning a guy who helped him in the crime. So how is that at all American? How is that all constitutional? I don't think it is. If I were a court, I would say that's not a legitimate pardon. But in any event, Manafort is free. He's at large. He stalks the earth. He's at large, unfortunately. He's pro-Russian, pro-Putin, so is Trump. So anyway, the Republican Party, and this, not only are they going over Tucker Carlson, CPAC, all of them are going over to Budapest to be with Orban, but enough's enough. I mean, truly enough's enough. I'm getting all worked up about this. I'm going to say something else now that's very good. This $39 billion is going to pass. Guys like Rand Paul are going to try to stick a knife in it. It's not going to do any good, and it'll get over there. But we got to do a little more. And one of the things we are doing, and this just came out yesterday, we were talking about freezing Russian assets and using them to pay for Ukraine's rehabilitation. The EU just came out and said that. The EU, the foreign representative, the high representative for foreign policy for the EU is a guy named Josep Borrell. And he doesn't have an H at the end of his name. It's J-O-S-E-P Borrell. And he came out and he said that Russian foreign exchange reserves, and a third of them are held by Germany, Austria, and France. And they should be used to rehabilitate Ukraine. And of course, we, and also Germany in Frankfurt and in London, have $350 billion in reserves. Take it all. And somebody had called in before and said, you know, the legalities of that, can we parse that? And I did. And that's this, take it. And yeah, they can sue, but make them come to the United States to sue. And if I'm a judge, I would say a criminal is not entitled to the restoration of their money because this money was stolen from the Russian people. Going to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Mike. Comment is more of a comic question, and it's kind of amorphous, but I'd be interested in your reaction to it. You had said during this hour, and I thought it was a very good way of describing it, that the Republican Party is now a Russian party. I mean, it's Russian in terms of Russian money, Russian intelligence, tracking things, Paul Manafort's, all of these sorts of things. But it seems to me that there's another aspect to it that is just as critical, and that has to do with kind of the spirit, if you will, of what the Russian people are going through with the government that they have. You know, the government they have is one where people are hauled off for any kind of protest. There was the protest over what's going on in the Ukraine, and they're gone. And it's that idea, I think, almost of people being ratted out and the never having the assurance that that you have a sense of safety. And I wanted to compare it in some ways to what's going on with the Texas abortion law and empowering citizens from around the country to be bounty hunters to women who choose to get an abortion. And I fear that it's not going to be limited to that in the future. It's going to be, medical pill abortions. It's going to be contraception. And I just that awfulness of knowing that freedom doesn't exist in a certain way, that people can be tracking you and following you and reporting on your activities. So I'd be interested in your reaction to that.
Yeah, Joe, those are excellent points. And remember the adage, the fog creeps in on little cats' feet, fascism creeps in on little cats' feet. That kind of suffocating authoritarianism is creeping into this country. And just quickly to talk about Russia, I've been to Russia. I've been to St. Petersburg and Moscow with a delegation of the Justice Department some time ago in 1997, when Yeltsin was the president, and there was a thaw. And the rank and file people are great. They're fine. But the problem is, when you live in a Stalinist country or a Putin country or a Hitler Nazi country, you can be the nicest person in the world, but you will be dragged off. There will be a knock on the door at midnight if you show any kind of resistance to the regime. So I do feel badly for the good average person over there, but they are living in a hellhole, frankly, right now. Your point is an excellent one. In Texas, that issue that you get a $10,000 bounty if you snitch on your neighbor, and you see her get in a car and she's pregnant, and you just, you'll dial a plaintiff's lawyer. You know what's going to happen is there's going to be a whole bar that will do this. They'll hold their hands out. They're no-brainers. They'll get $4,000 and the snitch gets $6,000. That happened in Russia back in the 40s and 50s. There was a guy named Laurentin Beria who was the head of the secret police. He loved to torture people. And they would encourage children to rat on their parents. And when they ratted on their parents, because they heard them whispering that they didn't like Stalin, parents went to Siberia. The kids got a medal. They'd be put out in public and got a medal. And they were praised for snitching on their own parents. This is what's happened. People are being paid in Texas to snitch on their neighbors. And the Supreme Court didn't stop that. And even Roberts said, for God's sake, that's clearly unconstitutional. Clearly unconstitutional. The fascism creeps in on little cats' feet. And that kind of thing, you're absolutely right. The abortion decision, Roe v. Wade, was based on right to privacy. It's the identical right identified in Griswold versus Connecticut that legalized contraception. Connecticut, believe it or not, in the early 60s, you had to prove to the pharmacist you were married before you could buy contraception. If privacy doesn't matter as a grounding of a decision, then it doesn't matter across the board. And there are going to be a series of these, including same-sex marriage and other things. So you identified it. The horror of kind of Stalinist snitching on your neighbor or parents has crept into Texas, and it will creep through the Supreme Court into the country. Thank you for calling. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.